Lord, we just come to you and thank you for these special, beautiful women that you have given a gift of children to bear. And Lord, it's an honor to stand here in front of them, God, and just honor them for who they are and what they have become and the image of you that are in them and what they're passing on to their children and bringing up, God. And we just give you just glory and honor to you for creating these special women. And God, we just thank you for everything you're doing in their lives.
Yes.
And the lives they're bringing up. For it's in your glory. In name we pray. Amen.
We have begun our series on knowing God. And we're not just talking about knowing about Him. This is not a series about knowing about Him. It's about knowing Him. Personally, intimately, discovering who He is, His attributes, all that He encompasses, although we'll never fully understand. Remember last week? His riches are unsearchable, His understanding is unsearchable, but yet He desires us to search and to make every effort towards it. And one day we'll know in full, but right now we know in part. But He's revealed Himself through Scripture, and so we want to get to know Him. If we're going to fall in love with Him, if we're going to yield to Him, if we're going to serve Him, we've got to know Him. Because it says, those who know Me will be with Me. And so my purpose right now is to, over the next 9 or 10 weeks, is to, through the Scriptures, navigate to get you to really understand and know God more intimately than you ever have before. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do that for you, because I can't, okay? Father, I pray that as we navigate through Scripture and begin to understand Your attributes, Your DNA, who You are, as big as You are and as hard and as unsearchable as it may be for us to fully understand with our little finite minds, God, gives us a glimpse of that glory. Help us to understand that we could serve You our utmost for Your highest. And may the words that I speak not be the words that I would speak, but Father, the words the Holy Spirit wants to convey this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Getting to know God more intimately is what we're talking about. Isn't something that you do once a week on a Sunday morning. If your experience with God is once a week on a Sunday morning, you are missing out. That's like getting married and then only coming together with your wife once a week. For 2 hours. Some churches an hour. Some 3 or 4. But it doesn't matter. Once a week's not going to cut it. To intimately get to know and to develop a relationship with the one you love, if it is your spouse. Obviously, God even more so. It's not a Sunday morning thing. If your entire relationship with your loved one consists of giving them your undivided attention for just that hour, every seventh day, your marriage would wither. But this is what some people do with God, and we wonder why our spiritual relationship never grows. Pastor, I just can't hear the Lord. Pastor, I just don't know which direction I need to be moving in. Pastor, I'm not sure what my gifts are. Pastor, I'm not sure if I should even be at this church. Pastor, I've been offended with you. Pastor, I can't get past this stuff. You know, all of that stuff's covered right in here. That stuff's covered when we come together in our home groups. That stuff's covered when we come together and have a cup of coffee and just hang out at the coffee shop. This stuff is covered anytime two people get together that know the Lord, because where you are, the Lord is in your midst. And so it's important that we cultivate. No, it's important that we put in our daytimer and make time for God, because we live in a very busy world. And if you do not plug and put God in your schedule and rank Him number one, you're going to struggle in your relationship with Him like you would anybody else. Serious problems develop when we don't grow in the knowledge of God. If you're content with what you only know right now and you're functioning off of yesterday's bread, yeah, forget it. Because yesterday's bread, you're going to forget. And when God did a miracle in your life and you need that next one, you're going to be like, God, where are you? If you don't daily keep that relationship up and understand that He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. These truths never pass away. They're so real right now because we must embrace them because the world is passing away and it's throwing everything it can at you from whatever it is that it's coming at you today. I don't care whether you're showing up with a physical infirmity or your finances are going to hell or whatever. But if you're being attacked, if you're being, you know, the enemy is not stronger than God. He's a created being. We've got to understand the truth of God so that we can stand on that truth and begin to speak that truth, because the power of our words made in the image of God will nail the enemy when we speak the words of God that are truth. We have to grow in the knowledge of God. So when people don't know the true God, what do? They fabricate gods that fit their lifestyle. Right? Our gods become whatever we spend most of our time with. Our gods become those things we focus our attention on and put most of our faith in. And so we fabricate these things. Sometimes you don't even have to fabricate them. They're right there in front of your face and you just choose them over God. Choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua was like, hey, whoa, it's God who am I going to serve. I don't care about my life or anybody else. It doesn't matter. I choose God. And God said, you know what? Be bold and courageous, Joshua. Act upon that faith. Don't sit back and just be content with your ticket to heaven. Joshua, go. Act. Be courageous. Be bold. The Lord thy God is with you. So wherever you work or wherever you go, when you're in relationship with God, and He says, hey, choose this day what you're going to do, choose Him. Because I'll tell you what, you'll never regret it. Nothing you can gain in this life. I don't care how many riches you can gain, how big your house is, how many cars you have, how many boats you have, all that stuff. It is passing away. And what you will go with to heaven is your relationship with God and all the ones you developed right here on earth, because you were an extension of Him here. And not just to those that you like. Even the ones you don't like. Hang with them. Be with them. Let God rub off. Rub on them. That's what the anointing oil and that stuff's for. So we rub on each other. Share each other. The spirit that's within us. Remember the spirit that was in Elijah. He went on to the spirit and to Elisha. And then after Elisha, later came John the Baptist, where it went from Elisha. That spirit that was on Elijah went to Elisha. And he didn't use it all up. He gave it to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, when Jesus saw him, he said, whoa, the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah. Why? He recognized the anointing that was on Elijah, that went on to Elisha, that went on to John the Baptist. And it's available to the prophets today. It's not used up. The anointing is here. God is here. He dwells among His people. He dwells in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. He cannot be an intangible thing in your life and something that's far, far away. That's just a movie Shrek made or whoever and stuff like that. That's a land that is made up. God lives right here within us. He's promised us that.
Yes. Yes.
And with God goes authority. With God goes power. With God goes your words, your countenance. Everything you do is a reflection of Him. So if we're acting opposite of what we should, then we're being hypocritical to the world. And one of the assignments He gave us here is to act the correct way so that we don't become hypocritical and we can win the lost for Christ. And at the same time, that's not enough, because then we win them, and then what happens is what Teresa just did with the testimony. We can get saved, but then what do? We're hanging out there. We need more knowledge of God so we can be more victorious, that authority can be exercised so that we can yield. And we get people like that were in the seminar that couldn't get past certain things because they kept remembering the old things, but God said the old things have passed away. All things become new. Well, that's great in my head, but the experience is what makes it happen. When the Holy Spirit says, hey, you're new, and this is the way we're going. And that's what happened to that lady, and it can happen to all of us. We have to mature. Paul says we have to grow. And so we have to know to grow. You can't grow if you don't know. But knowledge, not just to puff you up, knowledge to turn to wisdom, to turn to action, to turn, and ultimately it says in Philippians, it comes all back to what? Love. If we love one another, we fulfill everything. Because when you love one another, you're going to speak the right words. When you love one another, you're going to serve. When you love one another right, you're going to think right. You're going to do right. We just have to get back to the basics sometimes. So that's why we're getting to know God here, and we want to know Him. Don't fabricate gods for your own lifestyle. Our sovereign God probes our most hidden thoughts. He tells us that we must repent, and He commands worship. I'm going to say that again. Our sovereign God probes our most hidden thoughts. It says it in His word. It tells us that we must repent. That means if we're walking opposite of God, if we're not spending time with Him, if we're not doing the things that God has given us a wonderful description of what we should be participating here while we're here, because we're a gift from God. You're only here because He wants you here. Because He thought of you long before you were ever born in your mother's womb, and He had you here for a purpose. And if you skip that purpose all your life, that's the ones that we need to pray for, right? But the bottom line is we have to discover the reason why we're on this planet, and it's not for ourselves. We're children of the Most High God. We have an assignment from heaven that we have to discover. Right. Not just the one that you want for your life to make your life better while you're here, because while you're here is going to only be a short period of time. When you're thinking about eternity, let's please the Lord God Almighty who made you, the God of heaven and earth. Right. He probes your hidden thoughts. He tells us to repent, means turn and walk in the opposite direction if you're walking in the wrong one, okay? And He commands worship. Why? Because when we go to Revelation, what you're going to see here is worship from the angels, from the heavenly host, from all the saints that have gone on before us. They throw their crowns at His feet. It's going to be one heck of a worship time. It's going to beat all the praise teams. It's going to beat all the music we put up on the overhead. It's going to beat everything. It says it's even going to be loud. It says there's going to be loud sounding cymbals. So for those of you that are like quiet, you know what? Not going to be so quiet. Just telling you what the Word says. Our task is to understand Him as He has chosen to reveal Himself. That's big. Our task is to understand how He has chosen to reveal Himself. Not what you learn from all of these people that are interpreting things in 50 different ways. Not from books that have been written by men and such. I mean, there's great ancillary stuff out there, and I'm not saying we can't glean from them. But this is the book. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And we are to be understanding what He reveals. That's why the four-year health seminar works. Because even though we teach you some of the principles of knowing God and who He is and how He reacts, you go into a private room and you sit there with God and deal with your stuff. And the Holy Spirit is the one that shows you if you're going to get your victory. Because it won't come from us. We're not it. We're just His vehicles. The gifts of God at work. Praying that we're yielding to the Holy Spirit at all times. So we understand Him as He reveals Himself, not as we think we ought to be. Let me tell you something. God is not affected by what we believe about Him. God is not affected by what we believe about Him. God is God the Almighty and will do as He has written, whether we believe it or not. God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, there, yesterday, today, and forever. He had no beginning. He has no end. We have a beginning. We have no end, but we had a start. He created us. He's God. We're not. Whether you choose to believe or not really isn't His problem. He wants you to because He loves you. But it's our responsibility to get to know Him and to get to know what He likes and what He wants and to please Him by faith, because faith pleases God. And what is faith? Believing in the substance of things that we expect or hope, and what? Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. He's at the right hand of the Father. He lives by His Spirit within us now. And Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it comes or goes. The Spirit's going to be moving. You're going to do strange and things you've never done before in your life. And you're going to do and go places. How did I get here? Why am I here? Why am I telling you I love you? I don't even like you. Yeah. Because the wind moves and it's the Spirit moves, and God does when you yield what He directs. And even though you may feel discombobulated, He knows exactly what He's doing. Because He'll use your imperfect vessel to do His perfect will. And then one day you'll become perfect just as He is perfect. And you'll know what He knows. It's, oh wow. You just got to realize who you are. That's really what it is about knowing God. When you come to understand who you are, you'll know who God is. Because He is the ultimate of ultimates. God Almighty. Folks, knowing God is our greatest priority. Knowing Him is our greatest priority. How do I know that? Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. That's why we're preaching it. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. You might have them today, okay, big deal. But let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me. See, it really doesn't matter what you collect or what you think you've done or how many accolades you get or what kind of natural gifts that you have and all those experiences that you have. It says the greatest thing is to understand and know me, that I am the Lord, not you. Not your accomplishments. You couldn't even walk if I didn't put your legs on you. You know what I mean? If he didn't give you arms, you couldn't reach. If he didn't give a voice, you couldn't sing. But he gave you all these things to use for his glory, to know him, that I may, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness. So what should you exercise? Loving kindness. Justice and righteousness on earth. For I delight in this, in these things, declares the Lord. Justice, doing what's right. Righteousness, doing what's right. It's part of his character. It's his integrity. It's who God is. God is love. God is peace. God is joy. That's the tree we need to eat off of. That's what we've got to study. That's what we got to get to know. And that's what, when we know it really well, we'll live it out. He's not just interested in himself living it out. He wants us to live it out. He wants to look down to and fro for someone he can use who's yielded, just like Kayla was this morning, to lay hands on people to see victory in your life. I'm here to see victory in your life. I'm here to love you. I haven't done a really great job over the last 20 years, but I'm working on it now. But I want to love you because now God's put it in my heart to do that, because that's who he is. Yeah, but can I teach you? Yeah. Will I miss it in teaching sometimes? Probably, yeah. I'm just a guy. But I'm his guy. And he's chosen me to be here, even with all my faults, pimples, warts, and zits, and everything else. You're commanded to love those zits and warts and everything else along with the other stuff. Problem is, when you see those warts and zits sometimes, you know, whoop, zip, there you go, you know? We just flee each other. But it's time that we get back to the basics and we understand who God is. And he says, the greatest thing that you can do in life is to come to know me. Come to know me. The Bible tells us, we shouldn't brag or base our self-esteem on our wisdom or our education or our physical conditioning or our financial well-being. We should freely boast in the Lord that we know him and that we know about him. Galatians 6:14. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul's pretty much saying, you know what? You can have the world. I know. See, this is what we're doing now. I know, because the Holy Spirit downloaded it in Paul. I know who God is. I know I'm living forever. This time on earth is like a little dot in time. Paul knew what he was living for in all of eternity. And the world just paled in comparison of what it could possibly ever give you. In that short period of time of pleasure, to sacrifice that for eternity filled with the pleasures of God. Amen. And the Psalms talk about the pleasures of God that we'll never even begin to understand till we get there. It's an awesome thing to behold. But you have got to make a choice and a decision to yield to God and to turn away from the things of the world. And when I say things of the world, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy a boat or you can't join a nice house or you can't enjoy eating. Your priority needs to be God. And these things will be added to you as you just focus and know him. And some of them may not be added to you. You may be called to be a missionary over in some country where you don't even have a bed to sleep in. But you won't care because the joy of the Lord will be your strength. That's right. Because the things of the Spirit will take over you and you won't even care about some of the natural things anymore. That's what happens with growth. That's what happens with maturity. That's what happens when you get to know God and you really, really want to know him. See, it's not enough for me to just preach it to you. You need to receive it. You want to know God. Because if you don't, then, well, you know what? It doesn't make any bit of a difference. And live your life to its fullest and you'll stand before God. And let me tell you, you will have to give an account. You will have to give an account. Our self-image should be rooted in our Creator. Listen, if you're coming in with a self-image that says, well, I'm just condemned and I'm just this. But if you know Jesus Christ and as your Savior, you're not condemned. You may feel convicted, but you're not condemned. Your self-image should be rooted from your Creator who made us in His image. So you don't call the image of God bad. You don't call the image of God condemned. You're made in the image of God. And if you sin, you can be forgiven. You just repent. He's made provision for all the nasty things you can do in life. He's made provision on this cross. Who you are is who you are in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you're in the image of God. Your words matter. What you say matters. That's why it's so important to treat each other as Christians with love, because we're made in the image of God and we want to portray who God is. So when you go out and you don't tip your waitress and you act like an idiot sometimes and you're screaming at your wife and you're yelling and you're doing all these things that aren't in the image of God, it doesn't portray him very well. So what does he do? Condemn you? No. He says change.
Right.
That's the word repent. Change. And how do you change? You make a choice.
That's right.
I choose to change. I choose to change. We're made in his image, who loves us and who wants us to know about him and enjoy unbroken fellowship. Oh, would that not be so sweet? Unbroken friendship with him. Knowing God brings a maturity to our lives available from no other source. I mean no other source. 1 John 2, 12 to 14. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who's been from the beginning. Oh, I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. Ever read that one before and go, huh? According to this passage, there are stages of growth and maturity in the family of God, just as there are in your natural family. So follow me. Some members are like children, John says here. You can leave that up. Some members are like children. I write to you, children, because your sins have been forgiven. Do you know people who have been in the faith a long time, but when you try to have a spiritual conversation with them, all they know is their sins have been forgiven?
Yeah.
Come on. Some people have been walking with the Lord 30 or 40 years, and their level of maturity is, well, I'm forgiven and I'm getting to go to heaven. John's talking about levels of where we are in our walk with God. Some are just children. They know, he says right here, they know their sins have been forgiven, and that's about the sum of it. They've been saved, but they don't know much biblical truth. They haven't grown in biblical doctrine. Their knowledge of God is what? Shallow. While it's wonderful to know that our sins are forgiven, if that's all we know, we're at a childhood level. How much better to experience growth and become what? A young adult. John said a person who was like a young man in the family of God has experienced some spiritual victories in life. He's overcome the evil one. Can you see this now? Now we're a young adult. Now we not only know our sins are forgiven, but we have some authority. And we've had some victories, and we've experienced victory over the devil in a lot of areas of our life. But some haven't quite got to that level of maturity. That's why they need 4-year health. Together to minister one unto another, to sharpen one another, to help each other grow, to get off spiritual milk and to get onto the meat. Call it whatever you would like and whatever name it comes under and whatever ministry you want to put it under. But we're called to what? Iron sharpen iron, raise us each other up, mature and grow. Because if you stop growing, you're stagnant. So these young men have overcome the evil one. Though we are children, though we are God's children, we still face trials and temptations. Amen?
Yeah, right.
We're still God's children, but we still face trials and temptations. By grappling those problems with faith in Christ, that's how we grow. When we take those trials and tribulations and we go after them with our faith in Christ, which is he's given us a measure of, we begin to grow. But what about spiritual maturity in adulthood? John said, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him. He says, because we've known him. That's how you mature. That's why this series is going on. Because by the time you get to the end of this thing, you are going to know God. At least as much as what he's given me to give you through these scriptures. So we get to spiritual maturity because it says here, John writing, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who has been from the beginning. That's different than just knowing your salvation. Different than having a few victories over the spiritual trials and temptations in your life. I know him. And there's nothing that you can do or any demon in hell can do to take that victory away from me. I know where I'm headed. I know where I'm going. I know who I am. I know how I can operate. I know I'm a child of God. I know he'll never leave me or forsake me. Yeah, the world may attack me and hit me and he may even put me on a cross one day. And I may bleed and have pain and stuff like that. But I'm a child of the King and I have an eternal well-being to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. And when I know him, I can withstand all the forces that hell can bring against me. Because greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Because I'm pushing back, and I'm going to push back the gates of hell even. When I know him.
Right.
But when I just know I have my salvation, we're vulnerable. Then when we get a little bit more mature, we can start fighting back. But when we know him, oh, the strength that you get from the Lord by knowing him. The intercessors, the prayers, the ones that are talking back and forth with God every day that know him. There's nothing you can tell them that can put their faith down. In the
That's right.
You couldn't talk them out of their salvation for nothing.
Right.
And I'm not talking about their salvation or going to heaven. I'm talking about salvation meaning healing, deliverance, everything that God has to offer today. None of it's passed away. We're not going to need it in heaven. We need it now. Healing's for now. Deliverance is for now. We won't need it then. So what's the point, right? It's got to be for now. And Jesus bought that for us on that cross. And he said, it's finished. He took back the keys.
Right.
We have the authority. We have the power. What we need to do is yield. And that's why we help you through coaching and doing this stuff and maturing you and growing you and getting you to know God. Because you become a strong Christian, you become an intimidating force, not just in the world here today, but against every evil structure that's ever been created.
Right.
God created the angels. They made a choice. They made themselves evil. Not God didn't. John said, I write to you, fathers, because you know him. Who's been from the beginning. Maturity comes as you more deeply, intimately, and progressively get to know him. Who is from the beginning. So which group are you in? Knowing God also bequeaths a sense of authority, as I said, to your lives. Daniel 11:32. By smooth words he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who what? Who know their God will display, not might display, will display strength and take action. You get to know God, the authority in you will rise up. And let me tell you something. You're just going to, I got to preach. I got to teach. I got to prophesy. I got to work in a word of knowledge. I've got to administrate. Oh, I got to help. I got to do miracles. I got to lay hands on people and see healing. It has to come out of you. You get to know God. You get to know who you are. And then you discover, oh, I got it. Yeah. I got it. Oh, man, I'm excited. Just bring, get a tent. Get somebody, get lights. Man, we need a microphone. Give me a microphone. You know I'm being exuberant about that, but that's how you need to be in your gift. Well, however God, whatever he's put in you, you got to get excited about it. Because if people in the world don't see you excited about it, if I don't see you excited about it, how are they going to see you excited about it? They got to want what you have.
Yes.
And what you have is good.
Yes.
It's good because it comes from God.
Yes.
And he wants us in this. Those who do exploits for the kingdom are those who walk intimately with the king. Those who do exploits are the ones that are intimate, not ones that are coming on Sunday when they feel like it and, I'm just going to do God when I feel like doing God. Yeah, well, he'll do you when he feels like doing you. I remember, what did we say the other day? Who is Catrufo?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll come to God when he needs me. I said, let me tell you something, brother. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need you. I mean, if you're going to wait to come to God when he needs me, he'll call me. No, he's already called you, brother. And it's going to be up to you. Make the choice to come. I laughed. I was looking at him and I went, really? Okay. Well, God, I pray you need him soon because he needs to get saved. Knowing God also humbles our minds and allows us to trust him with all of our burdens. That's a big one, so I'm going to say it again. Knowing God humbles our minds. If you really get to know God and you don't get humble, something's wrong with you. Because he'll put you to your knees. John fell as a dead man. Many that came before him just fell as they were dead. In the garden, the soldiers came up to Jesus.
That's right.
Oh, he was in the spirit. And all they could do was fall back, it says.
Right.
Because he let them go on and do the rest because he had to fulfill God's purpose. But that initial contact with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, those guys could do nothing but fall back. You wonder why people say, what's the term, fall in the spirit? What do they call it also? Slain in the spirit. I don't care if you're in a charismatic circle, slain in the spirit. People fall down. Sometimes people go down when people touch each other and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, when you get into the presence of God, sometimes you'll get mute. You won't talk. It happened in the Old Testament. Sometimes you'll fall down. Sometimes you won't have strength. The guards fell. I mean, that's Almighty God we're talking about.
That's
so
right.
Don't just wipe out an experience like that and call it charismatic when it really is charismatic because that's Holy Spirit driven. That's what the word means. Charismata. That's part of the Holy Spirit that works with such power. I mean, I could obviously see my legs give out with the power of God all of a sudden touching me and me trembling and I'm going, getting humbled before Him. The first thing I'm going to want to do is just drop to my knees. This is what we have to come to know. Otherwise, we're going to treat church like, oh, well, that's just a Pentecostal church, I'm out. Oh, that's just a Baptist church, I'm out, because that's just this. You know, we start labeling of what we've chosen to believe. We got to believe the whole thing. We can't choose and pick. God's not up there saying, hey, this is a smorgasbord. Come on in, take what you want, leave, you know. Knowing God humbles our minds and allows us to trust Him with all our burdens. 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7. You younger men, likewise, you be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, I love those in the Bible. Since that's true, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. Well, I've just humbled myself, and I don't understand why God's not working in my life right now. How come I don't have what I've asked for? I've known everything I should be doing, and I'm doing everything right. I've been doing it. I've humbled myself. I've done everything. God, where are you? Why isn't He answering me right now? Well, maybe because it's at the proper time. Whose time? Kairos time. What's Kairos time? God's opportune time. Because if He gave it to you right now, you still got an attitude because you're demanding it now. So forget it and maybe He'll deliver it to you, right? Cast all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Are you getting this knowledge? If you have anxiety today, understand this. God cares for you. God cares for you, and He's orchestrated. He knew you before you were born. He knows you when you're going to come to be with Him. And in between, He'll make it so that, you know what? Yield to Him. Get to know Him, and you'll know exactly where, why, how, and when. Maybe not perfectly, but boy, I'll tell you, it beats not knowing at all, doesn't it? Our world is filled with cares, and we can't read the paper or watch television without that. From a human perspective, all we get is a feeling of despair. I don't know about you, but I just shut my TV off. It's one of the things that I decided to do as of what? Yeah, well, you did it. Sometimes, I know, I told you. Sometimes we need a little bit of help. But I shut my TV off. Now, I'm not telling you guys to shut your TVs off. For me, I had to shut my TV off because that was feeding me stuff into my mind that wasn't being filled with God. Everything but God. Whether it was news are some of the stupidest programs I've ever seen in my life, having grown up for 59 years. It just wasn't for me. And so I'm going to occupy my time now with my family and with reading God's Word and doing other things and playing. You know, it's like what I read to you before about playing out. Remember when you were young and you weren't called into the house until dusk because everybody was out playing kickball and softball and playing with each other? It's like, no, not now, Mom. Imagine this. We didn't want to go in to eat. Woo! You won't find that? Well, I could say a lot of things there. But we were playing outside till Mom whistled. We had all certain whistles. My whistle was a certain whistle, and then your neighbor down, it was all a different whistle. But they had to learn, they had to get us back inside because we were fellowshipping so much. Today, all you gotta do is look over at the TV and the Nintendo and say, hey, get off that thing and get in for dinner. That's a sad state of affairs. When we're so occupied with so many things that are feeding us. You know, my dad used to call it an idiot box. Here we are. Let's just sit right here, Johnny, and let's stare at that thing for 2 hours. Boom, boom. And everything that's coming off of that is coming into you, and we stand there for hours being either entertained or mesmerized by it. And here's God's Word sitting on a table over there. and him beckoning you to say, I've got so much for you to do right now. There's a neighbor down the street that needs brownies. I didn't say go preach theology to him. I said, there's a neighbor down the street that needs brownies. Will you cook a set of brownies and bring them down? Because that's what she did one day. And the girl came to Christ because someone took the time to bring her some brownies. She wouldn't have known that had not an intimate relationship been developed. And she knew what? I don't know why I'm doing these brownies, but I'm doing these brownies. And I don't even know who I'm supposed to give them to. But then that lady walked right into the house and smelled those brownies. She said, I guess I'm giving them to her. But God knew it. And it all came around circle. The point is that we need to occupy ourselves with the things of God because time is short. Our time for stay on this earth is short comparatively to eternity. We need to make the most of our days is what the Bible says. Let God order your steps. Take the reins out of your own hands and give them to him. And it won't be boring and it won't be dull. Trust me, anything but boring and dull. When you get that intimate with God, anything can happen. And it's usually stuff that'll blow your mind. Well, usually everybody else's, you know, but even yours, right? Yeah. Our world is filled with cares. But when we drill into the Word of God, we find powerful testimony about what? God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. Let's look at it. 1 Timothy 6:15. Get this thing wound down here. Which he will bring about at the proper time. Who is the blessed and only sovereign, King of kings and Lord of lords. The scripture is talking about God Almighty. Sovereign, King of kings, Lord of lords. Sovereign means sovereign. Reigning over all. That's all creation, all everything. Humanity, everything. God is sovereign. Learn that today. He reigns above and over all. Ephesians 1:21. Scripture speaks for itself. He's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. These are words that describe you. God, there is none other. We sing songs. There is no other but God. He is sovereign. He is holy. God is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's Jehovah. He's self-existing Lord. He's eternal. He's changeless. He's faithful. He's Elohim, he's creator, he's sovereign, he's full of power. He's Adonai, that means Lord and master and ruler and owner. Look at these words. Don't just hear them, feel them, sense them, taste them. He's over this whole planet that he's created in us right now, and he's listening to me, and he's hearing what you're hearing. And he's wanting to take what I'm speaking and uniquely place it in your heart, massage it, and use it for his glory. God is sovereign. When we speak of the sovereignty of God, we're referring to his absolute control over everything. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. How about that one? That's kind of one of those things when mom's looking at sons and daughters and mom and dad want them to know the truth and absolute truth. But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Mom and dad say, I do whatever I please. I'm mom, I'm dad, I make the orders. You're living in the house, you're eating my food, you're living in my bed, you're doing all the stuff from here. If I tell you to go to your room, you go to your room. That happens when they're young. Okay? And if it works, which it should, because you should have consequences. If not, no consequence, then probably not. But if you do, it works. Well, you know what? God's not quite that way with us because he gives us liberty and he loves us and he wants us to make the right choices. And he's just supposed to ask and we're supposed to do. If he asks us to do something in here, we're supposed to follow it. And if we don't, we miss out. It's our loss. It's not all about us. And we truly have limited control over events. You can't solve all your problems or untangle all your knots. You can't. You can't. When we grasp God's sovereignty, our cares are lessened and our spirits are lifted.
That's right. That's right.
When we grasp God's sovereignty, our cares are lessened and our spirits are lifted. Listen to me. God is in charge. He is in control. You can sleep easy. Life doesn't depend on you.
That's right.
You have a God in heaven you can trust and cast your cares upon. Scripture tells us he's infinite, he's holy, he's loving, and he's all powerful. Meditating upon God and praying is the highest road your mind can travel upon. Not in front of the TV, not down there talking to your neighbor or anything else. When you meditate upon God and you pray, it's the highest road your mind can take. Focus on his attributes. Prayer isn't simply a matter of bringing our needs to the Lord. It's a matter of getting to know the God to whom we bring our needs. Prayer isn't simply a matter of bringing our needs to the Lord. It's a matter of getting to know God, to whom we bring our needs. Are you concerned about a loved one far from home or at home? God is there. Are you worried about the future? God already knows what tomorrow holds. Are you distressed about world events? God's powerful, sovereign, and He's in control of all things. He knows who's been elected. Try praying the attributes of God over every situation.
That's right.
Listen now. Don't complain. Try praying the attributes of God, which we're learning, over every situation. It is a battering ram with which we may open the gates of heaven. You want to call down God's authority and power? Or call out God's authority and power that lives within you? Begin speaking His words over the situation. It's a battering ram. He'll always provide what's best, though. He will always provide what is best for us, working all things for our ultimate good. He hasn't gone to sleep and He's not on vacation. Nothing catches Him unaware. He is in charge. He is in control. And remember, our greatest priority is getting to know the God that we worship. And I close with this. Let's begin by praying as Paul did. Say this after me, and this is how we close. Lord, may our determined purpose be to know You, to progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with You, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of Your person more strongly and more clearly. Amen.